And I think that we should move on now to Aline Lücke, who will present us a framework for continuing professional development of trainers. It's her work from the her participation in the TP Plus project. Aline, I give you a word.
Okay, fine. I think it's a perfect combination because then you will now get a more idea why Eduardo has presented this about continuous professional development of framework and how it's a sketch, and it's also, I think, will give more detailed impression how we think a self-evaluative tool should be organized. So the TT Plus project is was aiming at the development of a framework for professional development of trainers, and as we have been discussing this all the day, framework is not the right word to use because we have withdrawn from the idea to set up a list of competences. I need the next slide, please. We are a Leonardo project with 7 partners, and next slide. And we have analyzed the professional situation of trainers and used the results as a basis to investigate how actually the professional development of trainers is taking part. And then we have identified important learning experiences and examples of those practices, explored some European policies, and then outlined a common framework to support this, professional development. And this is what I would like to present next. Why a framework? Graham has introduced this issue to you already. We have a number of trainers that have increased. We have a diffusion of training process. That means a lot of people are responsible for some form of training. Not all trainers have access to professional development, and because of this heterogeneous nature, we have been challenged with the creation of a framework that is flexible enough and wide enough to stimulate professional development for every for every person who is involved in any kind of trainers, whether you would call him a professional trainer or a facilitator of learning or what else. Next. So the challenge is, as I have mentioned, how can a framework be inclusive enough to accommodate all kinds of trainers, become an instrument to improve the practice of training, and become a process to increase and improve the access to training opportunities. Next. So our framework we have developed in this project consists of a set of principles, a set of standards, that are now called commitments and infrastructure, and the examples of evidence we have found in the research we have done of the practice. Next. Next. Ah, thank you. So the set of principles is, I'm going to skip it, I'm going to quicken up. So we said that the framework needs to recognize the importance of learning and the role of learning for individual for the development of individual competences, and especially also for organizational development. The framework also recognized different modes of learning, and the framework recognized the role that different groups and individuals play in training and learning. Next. The framework also needs to promote the integration of pedagogic and technical subject-specific knowledge and skills, and foresees the development of a broad range of competences. And this is how we, with the TT Plus project, got around this whole competence discussion that, and avoided to name what competences are needed. And the framework foresees the recognition of the role of formal qualification, but also the role of reflection, learning, and practice. And also what we found is very much important is the opportunity to practice for learning, for the professional development. Next, please. And the last principles are the framework foresees the importance of networking and partnerships. That means the importance of communities of practice of trainers, the importance of opportunities for initial but also for continuing professional development. So these are our principle sets. And next slide, please. And then we have developed a set of standards, and we are already not happy with the label standards, because what we are now calling it are commitments. The standards we are mentioning are expressed as voluntary commitments, and these commitments are applying on a couple of different stakeholder levels, because we think that continuing professional development of trainers is something that we shouldn't only address to the individual trainer, but can also address on team level, on organizational level, as well on intermediary bodies. So we have a holistic approach on who is responsible for the professional development of trainers. Next, please. So this is a set of commitments we have developed for the individual trainer. So the first is an individual trainer should recognize the importance of their own continuing learning and professional development. They should produce their own goals for professional development, review those goals on a regular basis. They should contribute also to the continuing professional development of colleagues. They should undertake activities to support reflection on personal practice. They should evaluate and review training practice in order to improve their own training practice. They should identify opportunities for their personal learning and development. They should review formally or informally their own competences and consider what further competences they wish or need to develop. And, of course, they should support our framework for professional development of trainers. Next. So our idea is that we are not telling the trainers how to do and how to become a professional trainer, but we are giving them examples from the practice we have observed and telling them, look at those examples and then reflect on your own practice and think of what are you doing to support those commitments. So we have first the example from the UK, Wales, where a trainer, we have called it Working Together, where an HRD trainer in the UK is trying to conduct all her courses and classes and seminars always together with a colleague. And afterwards, she will use this working together as a way of reviewing it. And this enables, of course, her to reflect on her practice, to identify weaknesses and strengths of her training practice, and to develop areas of professional development. So with this commitment of trying to work together with other trainers, she fulfills the commitment 3, 4, 5, and 7 I have given you at the previous sheet. And the other example is here a hotline in the UK, from UK, an IT training company has set up an hotline. And afterwards, when people had some problems encountering in their day-to-day work, they will call the hotline, will get a telephone support on how to solve this programming issue. And this is not only a kind of service tool, but it's also a good instrument for evaluation, because if there's a frequent use of the hotline, then there's something wrong with the training. Next, please. And so we have now the commitments by team levels, and we have been looking at the we have been looking at our research and found out that teams are so much important for the professional development of trainers. It's actually this peer group that is one of the most central aspects in the professional development of trainers. So. And here we have the same commitment adapted to the team level. So it's to recognize the importance of continuing learning of each individual member, to recognize the importance of it, of the own continuing learning as a team, to produce the own goals for professional development as teams, to contribute to the professional development of each team member, and so on and so on. I'm making it a bit faster. Next slide, please. So these are, again, two examples that are related to the commitments on the team level we have found. And the one is from there are actually two from the Netherlands, and one is the informal learning from colleagues. And it's quite interesting that colleagues are providing and receiving feedback on trainings. They are joining the trainings of their colleagues. They are giving the feedback for the college. They are evaluating internally with the colleagues the training. And these are all aspects that they are also evaluating together the materials they used. Did it fit? Was it good? They evaluate the responses of participants, and this is an example of a practice which supports the professional development of trainers at the team level or through the team level. And the second is the learning in teams. This is also a really nice example. It's so-called flag parade. So every month the trainers are meeting each other, and they are talking about what they are currently working at, and then each of them has a flag with red, orange, or green. So if he or she erased the red flag, the team knows there's something really urgent going on. This trainer has tremendous problems, and the team will then collaboratively search for the solutions. And the idea behind this is that the safe environment in which you can admit that you have some problems at work is a precondition for a good professional development. Next slide. So commitments by employers and trade unions. It's the same commitments, but we have adapted them to employers and trade unions. Trade unions because we found that in some certain European countries, trade unions are playing an important role in the professional development of trainers. And employers, we mean the organization in which the trainer is working and doing the training. Next, yes, that's exactly the one. So what we found is, for example, in the UK, in Germany, as well as in Portugal, we found the role of a so-called facilitator or training coordinator. That means a position that has been created to coordinate all the trainers working for an organization, and to moderate or to facilitate the needs of the organization and the needs of the trainers itself. And if this role is also extended towards taking care for the professional development of the trainers and communicating the needs of this trainers for their development towards back to the organization, then this is a fantastic example how the professional development of trainers is supported on the organizational level. Next. And of course, commitments by intermediary bodies. We mean here trainers association, we mean here employer association, also trade unions in a more general way, or governmental bodies also. Next. And we have here an example from Germany. One of the regional chambers has launched a pilot project to develop chamber-led curricula for training specialists. And these models try to take into account the needs of training professionals as learners. And they also try to develop learning concepts that are closely linked to knowledge utilization. And if this curricula also is integrating some kind of idea of professional development, then it would be a good way on illustrating how these chambers are supporting the professional development of trainers. And next. And the commitments by governmental bodies is also another level. Next slide. And we can see here also from Germany and Wales that they have set up a formal qualification on what trainers, in-company trainers, are needed. And if this formal qualification, this formal demand for obtaining a certificate is combined with this mandatory professional development of time that each trainer has to show that he has used a certain amount of time per year to develop himself further for his own learning. Otherwise, he will run out of his qualification, of his formal qualification. This would be also a way how governmental bodies could support this idea of professional development of trainers. And I guess this is it. Next slide. Yes, thank you for your attention. The whole document you can download at www.ttplus.org, or maybe we can also put it in the room at the paper room.
For your very interesting speech. Personally, I thought that it was really interesting, the battle about commitments at various levels, and that it is specified at various levels. And I would like to add that the part where you are talking about commitments from governmental bodies, this is very interesting for Greece, and I express my wish to see it turning into reality one day. And I would like now to leave like a few minutes of discussion, because I think that we don't have that much time. So if anybody has any questions to ask to Eileen or any comments to make, now is the time.
Dora, I just wanted to comment on your comment for Greece. Indeed, our Greek partner was really happy about this intermediary and governmental body level, and said this is exactly what Greece is needed. So it seems that you know the solution.
I'm happy that we coincide in this at national level. This means that our wish may come true one day.